Welcome back to the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians take all three games against the Athletics over the weekend, sweep the weekend series at Progressive Field. Day off today on Monday, well-earned, as they are 16-6 overall, the most wins in baseball, first place in the American League Central Division, and riding a four-game win streak. This is completely unexpected out of this team, but I think the Guardians expected to be here because they believe in themselves.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. They've had a great start, and it just seems, you know, the offense, the thing I think everyone was worried about, they're leading the American League in runs scored. They're averaging almost six runs a game, and, you know, Josh Naylor is just if he's not an all-star, Joe, I don't know. He might be the MVP. We're not even talking our all-star here. You know, the MVP of April, let's say.
Yeah, you're talking about the 1/8 poll of the season so far. So let's pump the brakes on the MVP discussion. But as far as player of the month, maybe for April, for certain right now, you can't look past Josh Naylor in the American League, although I'm sure Juan Soto in New York will get some sort of consideration because, you know, New York's the only place that plays baseball. But beyond that, Josh Naylor has been out of his mind and literally went out of his mind this weekend in three games against the A's. Home runs in back-to-back games Friday and Saturday. And just the big hit again on Sunday, a bases-loaded double in the seventh inning, and you know, really just sort of put that game away. Take us back to that at bat against TJ McFarland in the seventh inning with the bases loaded. McFarland gets ahead 0-2 and inexplicably throws a pitch over the plate to Josh Naylor that he just ropes into the corner for an RBI double. What'd you think of that whole exchange?
It was unbelievable, Joe. I don't know, you know, you could tell TJ McFarland knew he made a mistake as soon as he let the ball go, you know, because he had thrown those two sliders the first two pitches of the at bat and was 0-2. You know, Josh needed like a 10-foot long bat to reach either one of them, and then he just hung one right in the middle, and the way Naylor's going, he just didn't miss it. You know, drove it down the right field line for a bases clearing double, and that was the ball game, because that was a tight game until then. It was 3-2. He drives in three runs at 6-2, and that's how it ended.
Yeah, it felt like the Guardians were, I wrote in my gamer that they were clinging to a one-run lead at that point, because it felt like Oakland was sort of gaining momentum and trying to come back. And, you know, while the bullpen for the Guardians was doing a great job of holding things down, you just got the sense that if somebody didn't come up with a big hit there, that you know, they could push things and you know, maybe had a chance to steal one. But Josh Naylor wasn't going to let that happen. You know, earlier in the game, Will Brennan had some big hits. He hit a home run, hit a double. Andres Jimenez with a two-out RBI single. And you know, it felt like the Guardians were in control of that game up until, you know, the A's just, you know, mounted a little bit of a comeback. You know, and at that point, they needed Josh Naylor. Jose Ramirez had the day off. They wanted to get him a day off before the off day, so they had two back-to-back to rest up. I'm sure he's going to come back, you know, on fire for the Boston series. But that was a situation where, you know, the cavalry wasn't coming, and Josh Naylor had to deliver, and he did.
Yeah, that was like a typical inning of when a team is hot and can do no wrong, Joe, that seventh inning. They had three guys hit by pitches by three different pitchers. You know, Rocchio got hit by a pitch. Jimenez got hit by a pitch. And then Freeman got hit by a pitch after Naylor's double. I mean, it was, you know, they batted around. They sent nine guys to the, or 10 guys, or, yeah, no, nine guys.
Nine guys to the plate, yeah.
To the plate, and you know, they come away with three runs, and it's enough to win the ball game, especially, like you said, the way the bullpen is pitching. You know, just, you know, when a team is hot, things like this happen. But Josh Naylor is he's on another level right now. He's on another planet.
9-game hitting streak for Josh Naylor, batting .324 with a .622 slugging percentage over that span. He's against the A's alone, just against the A's this year, .310 with a .985 OPS, and that's in his career in 18 games against Oakland. His 20 RBIs lead the Guardians right now. At the end of the game on Sunday, they were tied for third in the American League. A fair assessment. Maybe April Player of the Month should be getting some consideration there, depending on how the next week goes. But you cannot find a hitter that's hotter than Josh Naylor. And we haven't even talked about, the home run that he hit on Sunday night or Saturday night that, just sort of lit up the dugout and his reaction to it. What did you see when Josh Naylor launched a home run and then decided to bash himself in the head with in the helmet with his bat?
Joe, that was a crazy sequence, man. Like, he hits a 2-run homer to center field. The A's had just tied the game, in the top of the fifth inning, with two home runs against Logan Allen. And, in the bottom of the fifth, Kwan gets on base. They get two outs. Oakland retires the next two hitters. And then Naylor just, hammers the ball, just destroyed like an 83-mile-an-hour changeup from Alex Wood into the center field bullpens. And as he's going to first base, like, he smacks himself in the head with the barrel of the bat and then spikes the bat. It was like, who was this guy, man? It was like a moment like you just don't see it. And, it brought back all those memories, Joe, and, the him headbutting Tito Francona, and, the explosion on the south side of Chicago at Guaranteed Rate Field against the White Sox when he drove in 8 runs from from the 8th inning on, and, was almost climbing the screen. The backstop screen. It was just a pure classic Josh Naylor. It was like, the Incredible Hulk had come back.
And the dichotomy of it is, in the post game interview, he's very, straightforward, very toned down. He's talking to reporters and is very straight about, it's all about my teammates and trying to deflect as much praise as possible. But, this guy deserves it right now. And he's worked hard considering the injuries that he's had to overcome. When he's healthy and when he's out there performing, he's been over the last, year and a half or more, one of the best hitters in the American League.
Oh, yeah. And, people said he couldn't hit lefties. He's hitting 400 against lefties this year, Joe. 8-for-22 home runs, 7 RBIs against righties. He's hitting .298, 17-for-57, 4 homers, 13 RBIs. You can't get him out right now.
Yeah, and the narrative over the last however many years has been, throw a left-handed pitcher at Cleveland, and they'll just fold, and it just hasn't been the case. And I think Josh Naylor and the way he's approached things, holding his teammates accountable, the left-handed hitters in the lineup, just saying, hey, we're not going to be the team that can't beat a left-handed starter. Against left-handed starters this year, the Guardians are 7-0. At home, they're 3-0 on the road. Or, I'm sorry, at home they're 4-0, and on the road they're 3-0 against left-handed starting pitching in the 2024 season. So he has been the leader here to flip that script about, not being able to hit against lefties. And it was the work that he put in the offseason. Stephen Vogt even said in the post game, he said, it goes back to the work that he did to make sure that, lefties wouldn't be an automatic out for him every time. So and you could see that how that affects guys like Andrés Giménez. Over the last week, Andrés Giménez has been a 2-out RBI single machine. If there's a runner in scoring position with 2 outs and Giménez at the plate, He is going to get that guy in with a line drive, usually to left field. It's happened like, you know, three times in the last in the last 7 days. Andrés Jiménez has been coming up clutch as well.
Yeah, he's had a great run here, Joe. A great, you know, start to the season, and I think some of the success they've had against lefties is due to the lineups Vogt has put out there. You know, he's found a way to mix and match them to make sure, you know, an opposing left-handed starter is going to face, you know, seven, maybe eight right-handed hitters. You know, he uses Fry in that, and he'll use Fry in against lefties, you know, Laureano against lefties. I mean, he's really, you know, the lineups he's throwing out there have worked.
Yeah, it really seems like Vogt's been pushing all the right buttons when it comes to splits and, you know, positional, you know, whatever in the lineup, but it's and keeping guys fresh and keeping guys, you know, rested. We saw him rest Stephen Kwan over the weekend. We saw him rest, obviously, Jose Ramirez yesterday. But it just seems like everything, every decision that's being made is the right one that's lining up right now. You know, once this pitching staff gets fully healthy, it'll be interesting to see where things go. You know, we saw over the yesterday's start, Tanner Bibee was one out away from becoming the first pitcher to go six innings for the first time since April 3rd. That's a stretch of 15 starts. Unfortunately, you know, he gave up a two out single, and you know, the sort of, you know, things fell apart there, and he had to come out. You can't blame Stephen Vogt for pulling him out of the game at that point. But, you know, he still went 5 2/3, still picked up the win, and it was a solid outing for Tanner Bibee. Hopefully it's the start of a good little run for him.
Yeah, that was the best he's looked, I thought, Joe, you know, in the early going of the season here. He goes 5 2/3, strikes out eight, two walks, five hits, two runs, throws a wild pitch, but, you know, he looked, you know, you liked the competitiveness in him. He gives up the leadoff home run to Brent Rooker in the fourth. Then he comes back, you know, retires what? Retires 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, six of the next seven hitters. So, you know, that was a good sign to me. His fastball was good. The location of his fastball was good. Very encouraging.
Yeah, and also encouraging the performance of the bullpen as of late. Hunter Gaddis and Tim Herron are both on pretty hot streaks as well.
Yeah, these guys have been touched by Bob Feller or something. You know, some angels come down and you know, kind of they're sitting on their right shoulder, because Herron and Gaddis might be the two best relievers in baseball right now. Herron has allowed one earned run in 11 and a third innings. He's left-handers, Joe, are 0 for 14 against him. Gaddis hasn't given up a run in 10 and two-third innings this season. Righties are hitting 188 against him. Lefties are hitting 0.55 against him. You know, those two guys, you know, really have been, you know, big, big finds for Vogt and Cleveland. You know, both of them, you know, were kind of, you know, on the fence last year. We saw glimpses of them last year, but, you know, Gaddis was mostly a starter, and Herron was up and down five times between Columbus and Cleveland, and they both look like they've really kind of established themselves and found a home in the bullpen.
So what we've seen out of Gaddis is that, you know, putting him in a bullpen role that he is fully embraced, and he sort of has that now late inning guy mentality, that his changeup really plays up when he's, you know, only working, you know, his assignment is go out and get these three guys out. Well, when his assignment is that, and he's thrown harder, his velocity ticks up a little bit, and his changeup has been excellent. And that's why the left-handed hitters cannot touch him lately. It's just the changeup has been great. Herron, it's like the two of them are doing it in different ways. Gaddis is doing it with the changeup. Heron's doing it with more of the breaking stuff. His slider is unhittable, and you know, especially if it's a left-handed hitter. But you know, once he learned to command the fastball and be able to pinpoint that, the breaking stuff is just overwhelming. And these two guys are on a hot streak. We've seen this franchise have relievers go on hot streaks. You know, Sam Hentges, Trevor Stephan over the last, you know, couple of seasons have gone multiple game stretches where they don't allow a run. They look unhittable. It looks like these guys are the next two in line, Gattis and Herron. And it's going to be a good problem when Hentges is healthy and can come back. And, you know, to try and find room for a guy like that in a bullpen that's pretty crowded.
Yeah, the bullpen has been, you know, outstanding, Joe. They are 6-2 with a 2.11 ERA, the second lowest ERA in the American League. My concern, Joe, as it always has been, is the amount of innings they're throwing. The bullpen is throwing, you know, they rank third in the American League in innings pitched already, almost 89 innings. The rotation, meanwhile, has only thrown 109 in the third innings. They rank third. That's the 13th lowest total in the American League. And I don't think you can continue like that. So hopefully, I think Chris Antonetti, you talked to him yesterday. He gave you an update on Gavin Williams.
Right, yeah. Gavin threw three innings on Saturday in Arizona and then flew to Cleveland where he's going to get checked out. If all goes well, they'll figure out the next steps for him. Could include, you know, rehab assignments in Akron or Columbus. But, you know, those haven't been determined. Those will be based on the recheck. Sam Hentges, Tuesday night, is set for an inning in Akron. He threw a bullpen yesterday. So, you know, help is on the way. I think maybe Gavin Williams is 3 weeks away from you know, being able to make a return to the major league mound. They're going to get him built up before then. But Antonetti said, you know, they had to start from scratch, start over from ground zero with Gavin based on when the injury occurred. And that was really the sticking point was, had the injury occurred, you know, earlier or, you know, maybe a little later, then, you know, things might have been different. But you're not dealing with a reliever here. You're dealing with a guy who you're trying to bulk up to be able to get through 85 to 90 pitches.
Yeah, and you know, the way things have gone with Tristan McKenzie and Shane Bieber, you know, the last thing they want to do is you know, put another bring a starter along that's not ready yet. So they're going to take every precaution with Gavin Williams. He just made his big league debut last year. You know, he's a big part of their future as long as they can keep him healthy.
Yeah. So here we are. The Guardians are 16-6 atop the AL Central, which I don't think a lot of people might have anticipated them being at any point this season. They're, you know, three games ahead of Kansas City, who I also don't think a lot of people anticipated being there. Eight games right now ahead of Minnesota, who can't seem to get their act together. This is all good and positive right now in April. Why is it over the previous, you know, decade plus, they had trouble maybe coming out of the gates and winning in April, whereas, you know, with Stephen Vogt here, this fast start, what's been the motivating factor in this?
Yeah, Joe, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you know, I think some of it, you know, we heard Stephen Kwan over the weekend talk about, you know, comparing this year to last year and saying that, you know, they played so well in 2022 as the youngest team in baseball. You know, they could do no wrong. They win 92 games. They win the division. They beat Tampa Bay in the wild card series. Then they take New York to five games in the ALDS. And, you know, Kwan was saying, you know, that maybe that they just kind of got a little bit overconfident in last season, that they thought, you know, that classic baseball think, you know, when you say, hey, it's always going to be like that. How many times have we heard players say that when, you know, they're just breaking into the big leagues and they have immediate success and they just kind of say, hey, I thought that every year was going to be like that. Well, you know, they kind of, you know, they got a rude awakening last year. And, you know, Kwan was saying, you know, we're holding each other accountable now. We're, you know, that was a wake up call. It seemed like they're a little more focused this year. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but, you know, that was interesting to hear.
The bottom line is they're getting production out of guys who were maybe scuffling around this time last year, guys like Andrés Giménez. You know, Josh Naylor hadn't fully hit his stride yet at this point last season, and even Stephen Kwan had a bit of a slow start to the year. Those guys are all producing, and they're getting help top to bottom in the lineup. When you know guys like Gabriel Arias and guys like Will Brennan are inserted in the lineup, they seem to come up with timely hitting as well. The offense, which everybody expected to be a huge problem, hasn't been, and I think that cures a lot of those problems. You know, it sort of masks whatever areas that they have trouble in terms of the starters going length or you know, wearing on the bullpen as much. They've been able to rally when they need to. They have more multi-run innings than any other team in baseball right now. And that's something that you couldn't say at this time last year or at any point last season. This offense, you know, wasn't putting crooked numbers on the board. It was a struggle. They needed to get multiple hits each inning to get runs across the plate. This year, they're hitting with runners in scoring position. They're hitting with two outs. It's all sort of coming together, and you're seeing the sort of the big picture plan of Chris Villeca's offense, you know, and with Stephen Vogt at the helm, they're playing inspired baseball. And that's really sort of what's led them to this point. Big question, can they continue this? Can they sustain this for another 5 months?
Well, you know, I'm sure they're going to, you know, have some, some valleys and some peaks in this thing. But the thing that has impressed me, Joe, is they're hitting the ball out of the park. They've got 22 home runs, fifth most in the American League. The Orioles lead the American League with 33 home runs. So, you know, the gap isn't that big. So that shows you, you know, how much they've improved in that category. They're leading the American League in runs with 124. They're third in batting average with 257. They're first in doubles with 43. So, you know, they're getting extra base hits. They're hitting the ball out of the park. They're hitting for average. They're scoring runs, you know, and that keeps the team going. Now, you know, offense, what do they say? Offense always kind of goes up and down like the stock market, you know, stealing a line from former Browns coach Sam Rettigliano there. But, you know, but I think the bullpen should keep them in the game. Their starting rotation, once they get Williams back and it gets a little healthier, you know, should solidify that team. I don't know if they're going to play like this. You know, they're going to, you know, go like this, you know, every month. But I think this is a pretty solid team. They're off to a good start. And they, you know, I think they'll be able to maintain this.
700 ball is a tough pace to maintain right now, but they're doing it. We'll see how they fare when the Red Sox come around and they see them again. They get Tanner Houck on Tuesday night, so it didn't go well the last time they faced him. But right now, the Guardians plus 52 run differential is the best in franchise history through 22 games since 1959. When they had a plus 57 run differential through 22 games. And that's an offensive and defensive metric there. That shows you that not only are they scoring runs at a great pace, but they're also preventing runs. And that was the case this past weekend. You know, yes, it was Oakland, and yes, they've beaten up on the teams like they're supposed to, Oakland and the White Sox and, you know, great, but the schedule will get tougher. Long stretches are going to come, and they're going to happen. But everything these guys have been saying so far, and you talk to them after games, and you know their mentality is built the right way to tackle those tough days. I don't think that you'll see them turn in on themselves and, you know, sort of eat their young. That's going to wrap it up for today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. Hoynsie will be back tomorrow to preview the series against the Red Sox, and we'll talk to you then.
Good deal, Joe.